Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Monday, March 25th, and the Sweet 16 is here on the Sleepers Podcast. Hope you all had a wonderful first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Cartel makes his return to the Sleepers channel. Good to see you, Cartel. How you doing?
I'm good. Just trying to just earn my way back. You know, I thank you for giving me the opportunity and just siding with probation as my punishment. Just hoping that I can just earn myself back into your good graces. I know we got a pretty big tournament, Sweet 16 run coming up here, and just gonna keep my head low and just work hard and hopefully get back to what we used to be.
For those that don't know what's going on, do you want to address what's going on?
No, I wouldn't. I want to really put that out there.
I don't think this is worth like coming on the show and be like, it's just good. Thank you for your good graces. I think you're here and everything's fine. That's my read.
Yep, it is. I'm just letting everybody know that I won't be outworked anymore. And I let folks outwork me recently.
All right, understood. To be a little more specific, I think this is in regard to Carter no-showing the Michigan State recap and the Illinois recap over the weekend. Yep. But you're back, and we're going to talk about some of those things this week.
Yep, I just want to get it out there, make it very clear.
Any comment on the fact that I will be holding new Carter auditions this summer?
Yeah, it's just nothing but a bigger chip on my shoulder, and I look forward to embracing that.
Okay, yeah. And my plan is in May, we're going to hold something called Carter Idol, where I'm going to open it up for auditions to be the new Carter, and then I will have a panel of experts who will serve as judges, and we will go through a round of auditions and then a few rounds of competition to determine who the new Carter is. Current Carter, as I'm currently referring to Carter as, he's now current Carter, will get to audition and participate in the Carter Idol if he so chooses. That's up to him. He has free will. So we'll see. Do you want to, comment on Carter Idol upcoming and your thoughts on your participation?
It would be pretty on brand for me, I think, to lose a competition that is literally about being me. So I think that's the only thing I got to say. I feel like I got a leg up that I actually am Carter.
It's a good start for sure. It's definitely place to start.
I want to say born on third base, maybe second base, maybe a nice lead, maybe a wild pitch, get me to second.
Yeah. Maybe you have a little Carter privilege. That's what's going on here.
Yeah. One might say.
Yeah. All right. All jokes aside, that's actually happening. We're going to be doing that. I can't get on. I'm obsessed with this content idea, but it is good to have you back, my friend. I did miss you the other night, and let's get to the show. Should be fun. Sweet 16 is here. Some of our favorite teams are still playing. Purdue and Illinois are rocking. My program has a new head coach. That's exciting. Your program has a head coach who says he will die trying to get back to a Final Four. That's exciting. Xavier Booker's back. We're going to talk about many of these things, not all of these things in today's episode, but at some point this week, we'll get to all of these. And today should be a very fun episode as we look forward to the Sweet 16. So start us off, Cart. What's the YouTube comment of the day?
YouTube comment of the day is a culmination of everyone who is victory lapping us under our UConn Northwestern video, because I couldn't even scroll and find a YouTube comment because that's literally all I see.
Can I get like one just to know how bad it is? Because I did pick Northwestern to win that game.
That Spider-Man quote was cute. Careful, he's a hero. Boo zone. Ha ha ha. Clowns. How'd that best player on the court work out? Welcome to Stephon Castle, Devin Carter, Tyler Kolek, Cam Jones, Baylor Shireman. Now add Boo Booey to the trophy case. Wonder what dumb shit they'll come up with for UConn's next game. Boo booey stat line. Y'all lost all credibility. The boo zone is bullshit. Booey zone, more like boo hooey. I mean, that I'm just reading these all in a line too, by the way. Actually, this will be the last one. On this day, March 24th, here lies Sleepers Media and Boo Booey after being mopped by Sir Tristan Champ Newton and was completely locked down by Sir Stefan Castle. Do better. Saying Boo is the best player on the floor is literally a joke. UConn played like dog shit and it wasn't even close.
Yeah. Yep. That's fair.
We're also 94 subscribers away from 10K. Wait, sorry. That's just a complete lie. Wait.
Are you okay? What's going on with you mentally right now?
Wait, I said it. Yeah, I said it right. Yeah, we're 94 subscribers away from 10K.
You know what that calls for?
What?
A Chips Ahoy Chunky. Let's have a quick celebration here, Cartel. Cheers, 94 away from a big number, my friend.
How are those cookies?
Real good.
Good?
Real good. And you know what washes that down nicely?
What?
A fine American Pilsner.
Oh, a nice little little Miller Latte.
Just a nice little Mill Light.
Like that. I'm not going to
lie.
Nice
little Miller Cop.
I'm not going to lie, though. Having a bite of a Chips Ahoy chunky cookie and then washing it down with a Miller Lite is some diabolical material.
It doesn't. Well, I need a nice cold glass of milk. Do you mind if I go get a glass of milk real quick, actually?
Do you really want to?
I mean, can you carry the show? Do you want to read some Discord comments while I go get a glass of milk?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. You make this seem so hard. I feel like it's just kind of easy. Don't you just pull up the comments? I see why it's difficult, because everyone just likes to talk a bunch of hoopla in the comments. Let's start with this one. This comes from Malik Perry. 100%. Just Carter, you can't say anything about me being proud of my team. You only around when we winning, but not when the diehard fans are always there. So salute to you, and you can't be a chameleon and have to grind to blend in, little cat. I love you too, Malik. This comes from Boiler in the Void. Is there any way you guys see an outcome where Duquesne wins a game or two in the tournament? Because I think they have a real chance. No. Also, where the hell did I just scroll back to?
Yeah, what are we? We did that like 3 days ago. Utterly heartbreaking, by the way. I don't have milk in my house, so instead I grabbed a bottle of water.
What the hell's going on here? Ah, here we go. Once again, from Malik. We need a 5 over a 1. Look at what the ones are doing that has been doing all year. Malik, are you having a stroke, man? Like, how do you type this stuff?
All right, let me come save the day. Where are you right now? What's the date and time of the comment that you're reading?
Yesterday at 7:26 p.m.
Okay, well, we didn't do an episode on Friday, so we need to go back like 2 days before that. So I'm going to start us off with Who in the Hail, who says, I am excited to finally have joined this wonderful community of diehards just in time for my beloved Boilers to make a run at the whole damn thing. My debut question is light and mostly mindless. What are both of your picks for the final four of pizza on Big Ten campuses? He threw out Ian's in Madison, Tommy's in Columbus, Bruno's in West Lafayette, and Mother Bear's in Losington, a.k.a. Bloomington.
Losing is funny. I'm not going to be a pizza box watcher. I haven't had any of those pizzas, so I can't comment.
Was it Bruno's? Didn't we go to Bruno's? Was that where Craig took us for Boilers in the Stands?
No, that wasn't Bruno's.
Okay. Wherever we went with Craig, they had good pizza.
Yeah, that was a brewery that I don't even think was really on campus.
Got it. Papa Dell stinks. I'll get that off my chest right now. Papa Dell has been being carried by Mama Dell for years. I will throw out Monocles. Monogles. I still don't know how to say it. That one's good in Champagne. And I don't think I've had any others.
So Monocles is in the Final Four.
My go-to food in any of these places is, do they have a Raisin Cane's? And if they
do, true.
That's all it is.
We can rank Cane's in each town.
I would do that for sure. The Madison Canes was by far the best.
Yeah, that went crazy.
Yeah, because we ended up on ice with it. That was a great night, a really great night. Honestly, I need to get back on ice with you soon.
Facts. Let's go ice skating.
I would love to go ice skating. Boiler Khan says, could part of the reason why underdogs seem to win so frequently in March be related to the fact that the fans in the building cheer for the underdog, creating what is essentially a home game for the underdogs? Yeah, I do think that's a very real effect, and the fans did horrible this weekend because we got no underdogs winning.
Facts.
Yeah. Flat Stanley says, after today, who's your current tourney MVP?
It's got to be Edie.
I think it could be Terrence Shannon.
Ooh, that's a good pick, too.
It's one of those two. Two guys.
One of the Big Ten guys.
Very interesting. Also, same old Lions called this out, but I think A.J. Hogar deserves a shout. He was my MVP. He served my interests better than any player in this tournament did. Luke says, is the Big 12 or Helen Keller more fraudulent? I have no idea what that means. You want to take a stab at that one?
No, because I have no clue what it means either.
Is Helen Keller a fraud?
I think there's some theories out there that Helen Keller was a faker.
I mean, as a fellow faker, what's your read on if Helen Keller is fraudulent?
She does have some liar tendencies, but she also did have some very, very clear, like, point-blank blind moments.
Is Stevie Wonder fraudulent?
I did see that award show of him, and he looked pretty alert.
He's looking more blind these days to me, but
how so?
Well, there was a new public moment where he just like didn't know what was going on. He looked very blind.
Sucked you back in.
Yeah. Augie says, I'm not sure how accurate this would be, but the final four checklist we came up with numerically fits to predict tourney outcomes. You could do 7 out of 7 means you'll win the championship. 6 out of 7 means make the championship game, and on downward, where each round of the tournament corresponds to a number until you get to 0, which would mean miss the tournament. He's 99.99% sure it wouldn't be accurate, but still something to maybe play around with. Yeah. The problem right away is I know there's multiple teams with 7 out of 7. So wouldn't be able, we'd have to like add more categories to try to whittle it down to one. But I do think it actually worked out as a pretty good indicator, I think, of the first couple rounds, because some of the takeaways we talked about, Gonzaga was in it. St. Mary's was not. That was a surprise flip. We had Kentucky and Kansas not in it. Those teams were out early. We had, who was the other one? There's one more I was going to talk about. Oh, Utah State.
Utah State to win the first game.
Yeah, won a game. So I think it actually has some merit. I think Malik Perry, you know what? I feel like me and Ryan the Lion are your guys' rivals. We seem to always be going at it. Me versus Carter and you versus Ryan. But I think that's a healthy thing. No disrespect, but Carter, if you want to lose weight, break your eating habits, not your jaw, Cookie Monster. Greg, we didn't need to know the answer to the mouth question.
I deserve that.
Malik followed that up immediately with, do you guys celebrate spring or do anything during this time of year?
Celebrate spring, a season?
I just love, he goes from, Carter, break your eating habits, to, do you guys like spring?
Are you a big spring guy?
I mean, I love spring, but that's just because of the madness.
I'm not a really big spring guy.
What's your favorite season?
Fall, easily.
Have you heard my season theory? Everybody has a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody has a season where you're like 150% more attractive than the other seasons, and that should be your favorite season. Mine is winter by far.
Really?
Yeah. Just like sweaters. You don't have to wear like tight fit clothing.
I'm with you. That's why I like fall. It's a little mixture of both. A little more versatility. Like it's a little brisk.
Yeah. You like the Auburn light looks good on you. It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In winter, everybody else gets pale and I stay the same. So I look tanner by default.
That's quite the theory.
No, I used to have like girls in high school be like, oh, you look tan. I'd be like, it's just everyone else got pale in the winter. Malik says, since you're okay with waterboarding, it's an absurd show we do. Would you rather fight an 8-foot anaconda or be woken up every day by waterboarding with warm piss?
Warm piss?
This is the most absurd question I've ever responded to on this channel. Yes, warm piss. Or an 8-foot anaconda.
I'd probably do the 8-foot anaconda.
I don't like snakes.
You like being pissed on?
More than snakes, I think.
Also, there's some follow-up questions like who's pissing on us?
Yeah, right. Whose piss is it? Is it my own piss?
So like, yeah, or like is your
Is it
wife
the dog's piss?
is the wife gonna piss on you? Has she been hydrating?
Either way, I'll take the piss. Now that we're talking it through, I'll take the piss.
I think anaconda water nah, give me anaconda.
Yeah, you would. Detroit's Coldest says, is the Boo Zone fictional?
No, it's not fictional, and you found out that it wasn't.
The Boo Zone is real. You just have to be in it.
You got to get there.
Yeah, we're not always in it. That's
Yeah.
the thing. Ha, Regress says, unscrupulous behavior aside, do you consider Rick Pitino a top three most skilled active coach?
No.
Skilled is the key word there. I will say no, but I think he might be a top three coach, like legend wise, of all active coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your Serbian Boiler says, is it time to say that the Big Ten was underrated and the SEC was overrated after the tournament results so far?
I feel like that's not the most out of line thing to say.
There's
Except Bama, C16.
a lot of conference conclusions. Big 12 overrated, Mountain West overrated, ACC underrated. I don't think you should ever. It's like the bowl games with football. You win bowl games, that doesn't mean your conference was good. It's good for narratives, but it's small sample size.
Yeah, true. Smart.
Yeah. Detroit's Coldest says, thoughts on my worst five people in sports list: Urban Meyer, Dan Dockich, Luke Hancock, Dante DiVincenzo, Andy Katz.
We respect Andy Katz on this podcast. He's a pioneer. He's a generational pioneer, and people don't want to, and people want to hate on Andy Katz when they really don't realize that Andy Katz is seven steps ahead of all of us at all times.
Andy Katz is a genius.
Yes.
That's my genuine belief. He's a genius.
Yes.
Another trio from Malik Perry here. Oh, we need a five over a one. Look at that. Our one is doing what he's been doing all year. Thank you, team. But initials, you're the problem. I'm buying into Holloman having a better career than initials. And then, well, at least we had Kansas and UK lost. So Blue Bloods down two to go.
Malik, never, and I mean never, ever stop being you, my brother. Ever. You are generational.
A true legend. Guy says, on a scale of Izzo in November to Izzo in March, how excited do you get at three Malik comments in a row?
I get pretty excited because I always know it'll be mixed in with a little bit of hate, a little bit of what the hell, and then, a little bit of hoop mixed in.
I love all of our Discord members, but I do really, really love when Malik gets active because you never know what's coming. Same old lion says, is initials the worst Spartan to ever put on the green and white?
No.
He's not even the
No.
worst Spartan in his senior class to put on the green and white.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, but he is a bad one though.
Let's make ourselves very clear. He's bad, but
I'm gonna miss you so much, AJ. I really am. I did laugh when they asked AJ and Mahdi, like, what are your plans? And they were both like, I'm pretty undecided. And then they asked Tom Izzo, and he was like, well, yeah, I think Mahdi's going to finish out, but AJ's been done for a while. You didn't see that quote?
I didn't see that. No,
Oh my God, I need to send it to you, literally. He literally said that. Tom was like,
like
yeah.
word for word.
Tom said, yeah, I think AJ's been done for a while after the
Well, that
game.
explains it. He's been hooping like it.
Crazy. Malik says, only one thing can make me mad, sad, disappointed, and angry is initials coming back. Then I hope Aikens find that Black Force energy Hall found.
Hot take. Not to get things going again, I think Jaden Akins might have played his last game in green and white.
You've been weirdly pushing this privately, and I'm very confused by it.
Just a gut feeling that has never ever actually really served me any purpose or been right, but I have them.
Why would he do that at this point, though? It's like he's gonna finally have the role.
I don't know. I close my eyes at night and I see him gone.
I think if he was gone, he would have been gone last year. I really do. I don't see it this offseason. But I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, obviously you want him back, but I think you could also go get a better player, to be honest. I don't know. I don't know what first option Jaden Akins looks like. I don't think that's a great basketball team.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Flat Stanley says, when's the live stream coming? This was last night. not coming. Only live streams we do on the Bleacher Report app, which we are going to do a bunch of down the stretch run of the season. So get the BR app. You can find us there. Travis Nelson says Illinois finally got a great draw that it has been waiting for, much deserved after the last few years.
Well, they beat the brakes off Duquesne.
Duquesne bad. Like, just bad.
Yeah. Just like, yeah. Like, y'all beat Morehead State and Duquesne, and you should, and you deserve to get a nice little draw here. Got a little step up coming up for you, though. Now it's time to tighten up for real, for real.
I think they can, though. Like, we'll talk. We're going to preview this week, but I'm optimistic for Illinois' chances. They did what good teams are supposed to do when they get a break. Beat the brakes off teams. That's what they did. Coy said, re-rank the final 16 teams. That's a topic for today's episode, Coy. Thank you for the idea. Fam33 says, I'm up late watching the MSU recap with the face of our fan base nowhere to be found because, quote, we're having the time of our lives. What exactly did that entail? What made it so fun? Before I throw it to you, I do just want to be clear. That's a misquote. I did say on the Michigan State recap that you were not present because I got a text from you that your wife was having a great time, Queen Meg was, and you had given me an estimated time of return that was a little up in the air that felt like it may not be accurate, and my read on the situation was that it was probably not accurate. So what exactly did it entail? What made it so fun?
You know, there's a certain twinkle that you can see in your loved one's eyes where you can just tell they're in their zone, they're having a good time. And I was reading the room and I felt that. I felt that heavily. I felt it in my soul. Also, let it be known, I'm not the face of any fan base. I'm the face of Sleepers Media. At least I hope to be. At least I hope to earn that title back one day.
Yeah, Carter Idol.
I don't want to be the face of a fan base that loses 14 games every year. They change that, then I'll be the face. Until then, no face, no case.
Is that a little fair weather from you? Don't you got to be the face of the bad times too? Like, I feel like I was the face of bad Michigan basketball this year.
Were you?
I think so. Like, I don't think there was ever like a, hey, I'm out this week. Like, I don't want to, I can't show my face. We lost this week.
Yeah, true. You know,
so, I don't think that's what you did last night either.
Yeah, I mean, I would have hopped on the recap.
Yeah. I'm honestly more concerned you didn't do the Illinois one. Like, you've been such an Illinois fan all these years. Dane Danger, they finally get their moment. Those people are hurting to not have your positivity.
I was a little hurt that Dane didn't score more in that basketball game.
Okay, so there was a reason. All right, now we're doing like a group therapy session right now. That's what's happening. Travis Nelson says the round of 32 schedule stinks. I don't think there should be any standalone games. There should be multiple games on at once all day. Seems like it would be really easy to stagger them and just do like noon, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9. That easy.
So do you hate when there are those standalone games, like how they staggered it today?
I hate when there's four at once because I'd rather watch two at once.
Yeah, so I'm good with two at once, but the thing is, I think what made today bad is that the games were blowouts, right? And, like, you didn't have another game you could watch. Like, you literally just had to watch that blowout.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Also, we're recording this right now as Texas A&M tries to complete a crazy comeback against Houston here. So if we have a wild reaction, it's just because the madness is unfolding in real time before us right now. But some weird stuff down the stretch of this game, Cart.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, please.
Is Wade Taylor dead ass?
What's he asking for? I'm confused by this.
So am I. I'm very confused. I'm also very confused at these attempts.
I'm very confused how they got it to three. They were down 15 like 2 minutes ago when we started clicking record, and I haven't been paying attention. Anyway. Okay, Detroit's Coldest says, has Shaka Smart done irreparable damage to the pro long sleeve under short sleeve community? And if so, how would a Marquette National Championship impact his legacy in said community?
I'm a firm believer that that look is only acceptable on the golf course.
I don't like the look in general, but I would say Shaka hasn't damaged it at all. If anything, Shaka's carrying the torch for the community. Shaka's keeping the community alive.
Literally, it's Shaka and Rob Dowster that are keeping that community alive. That's it.
Coleman's Burner says, is Avery Johnson the worst announcer of all time?
No, he's not. Chris Webber is the worst announcer of all time.
Then he says, follow up, it's funny how you can tell an announcer has never watched the teams they are covering.
I mean, if you were an actually, I take that back. Greg, how long do you think we could go announcing a sport that we've never watched?
I think we would get caught if we actually, like, didn't know the rules at all. But we did so well on the marbles thing that, like,
I feel like we could make, like, throw us out there for a rugby game. I think we could do something.
I'd love to do, like, a horse race with you. I think that'd be good.
Yeah. Except I'm not an advocate of horse racing.
You're anti-jockey?
Yeah, I think they abuse those horses.
Oh, my God! Madness! Wait.
What just happened, Greg?
We have overtime.
Wait, I was looking at you. What? How'd they even get the ball?
The A&M had the ball on possession. I'm sorry. I know people hate when we do this. A&M got the possession arrow. So they had the ball under their own hoop with a second left. And this is a great inbounds pass. And homie number 11 just hit a falling down shot for three. Wow. Oh, I thought he got fouled, too. That could have been an and-one.
Oh, he's wide open.
Oh, look at this. Yeah.
Wow.
But like, catches low, goes low. Oh, he didn't get touched. What a shot.
No, that pass was dirty, too. The inbounds pass?
Such a dirty pass. Yeah.
Like, underrated, like, literally wraparound bounce pass? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Do we have Mattis? You have to love it. Back to Malik Perry, who says, just Carter, did you duck Riley the way I'd be scared of Riley if I'm on trial and he's the lawyer I have to face? Damn, you hate the grind that bad. Big cat, my ass. I'm at a birthday party, best time of my life.
Next comment.
I remember this one game we lost in high school against some Snooby kids, and they was talking trash. So me being me, I said, most of you had your asses kissing the bench. Most of the roster had DMP just like their moms. Wow. I'm going to not read the next couple words. My coach looked at me like he didn't know how to laugh or be mad. Their coach covered his face and said, let's go now. Man, I'd be saying some messed up stuff. So if I ever made someone feel bad besides Carter, I'm sorry.
What a line to end that. If I've ever made anyone feel bad besides Carter, I'm sorry.
There was a crazy line in the middle of that I did my best to censor. I'm sorry. Malik's final comment, I think, says, woof, woof, until next year, Greg. Can we get a roast segment of MSU? We need some laughs. Yeah, don't worry. I can roast. Who you want roasted?
Take a moment with everyone in the starting five.
Right on the spot. That's tough, though. I don't think I can roast a philanthropist, can I?
We've roasted nicer people.
That's true. Carson Cooper looks like a male librarian.
That's pretty good. Okay. That's
the first one. Ooh, this one's going to be kind of mean, but I feel like all roasts are, you know what? I can't, this could make its way back to a play. I have a really hilarious mean roast for one of the players that I'm going to not do. So we're going to move on.
Can you text it to me?
Yeah, it's just like, it's got some family stuff involved.
Okay, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, Go Boilers Blake says, this is a long comment from Go Boilers Blake. I love you, Go Boilers Blake, but this is a really long comment with a painter clip on YouTube. Sometimes the difference between good and great is when something seems to go wrong, but instead it opens
the door. Wait, no, he said you don't have to read that on the show. I saw it. I read it earlier.
Oh, did that actually happen?
Yeah, he said you don't have to read it on the show.
Yeah. P.S. Tony, it's just it's a very good clip of Matt Painter. Go watch the clip of Matt Painter. J-May 51 says, not going to lie, as a Duke fan, this team broke me with their lack of effort and toughness, but now things look different. They reminded me of UNC team from last year, but Duke made the tournament. I was happy UNC didn't because I thought they were going to make a run if they did. Do you think Duke can make a run to the Final Four now, or do you think UNC could have made one last year?
I still don't think Duke's going to make the Final Four. I don't. They are talented as hell. Do not get me wrong. Like, super, super talented. And when they shoot the ball like they did today, they're going to win a lot of basketball games. Don't get me wrong. I still truly believe in my heart of hearts that this team is soft. I think it just needs to be a team that tests their gangster.
Yeah, I say ask me in 5 minutes if I know if Houston wins or not. If Houston loses to Texas A&M, Duke could absolutely make a Final Four. Absolutely. In fact, I would say they might be the favorite. If their path was Texas A&M and Marquette to a Final Four, like, very, very possible. I wish I hadn't given up stock in this team, but I got duped. I got duped by the end of the UNC. And shout out JMay51, by the way. I don't know if we've shouted out JMay before. We got a lot of new users over the weekend as well. I'm sure I missed a bunch of them, but for the sake of time, we're not going to shout them all out. Thank you to all the new users supporting the Discord. I think we have 265 members of the Discord right now. So thank you to everyone for signing up in March. It's been fun. We have greatly enjoyed it. It's the number one way to support the show. You can subscribe to the Discord for $9.99 a month. Link in the description of this video. Also, Cart, we are presented by MyBookie. MyBookie is our favorite sports book. I know you and I both won some money at MyBookie over the weekend. We have promo code SLEEPERS. You can get a deposit match bonus up to $1,000 as a first-time user. That link is in the description of this video. Go check out MyBookie. We love the folks at MyBookie. Let's get to the show, my friend. I have three topics for you today to kick off this week. We're going to start by ranking all 16 teams that are left in, you know what? Actually, no, we're going to do this out of order because maybe the Texas A&M game will be done by the time we get to the third topic, and we'll know for sure if it's Houston or Texas A&M. So we're going to start with your team instead, Audible. You were not available for the Michigan State recap. I did my best with Brian Ralph to discuss what happened. You are now available on this program, and I think Michigan State fans want to hear from you. So this could go a variety of ways. I kind of just want to reset. We don't need to go through specifically what happened in the Michigan State North Carolina game, but we have heard some rumblings since that ended. We've heard that Xavier Booker says he's going to be back for Michigan State. We've heard Tom Izzo say that he will die trying to get to the Final Four. He will die before he gives up on trying to get back to a deep run in March. Why don't we start with the Booker stuff? Point blank, do you believe Xavier Booker? Because Connor Sejan said he was back, and now he's in the portal a week later.
Yeah, I believe it because if we are doing the comparing like the Asijin to Booker situation, Asijin basically got his spot in like minutes taken by freshman and John Blackwell, and John Blackwell's not going anywhere basically. So,
That didn't happen with Book, though.
Huh? Well, the people who did it with Book are gone.
Who?
I don't think Mahdi's gonna be on the team next year. I don't think Jackson Coulter's gonna be on the team next year.
We gotta see with Mahdi.
Malik Hall's not gonna be on the team.
Okay. I mean, on paper, all three of the bigs could be back. Izzo said Mahdi's likely gonna finish out. That's what he said right after the game.
Booker's gonna be our starting four next year.
Okay. Then if that's the plan, yeah. Then
Yeah, Book's gonna be our starting four next year. I do believe that he's gonna be back. Quickly on the game as an overview, just very, very quickly here. I just wanted to be known that despite what has happened throughout these last 4 years and it being a down period in Michigan State basketball, thank you to all the seniors on Michigan State for what you did. For actually sacrificing, playing for the program. Appreciate that. I do appreciate some more than others, don't get me wrong, but all are somewhat appreciated, even if it's only minuscule. Secondly, I still am not able to fathom that our senior point guard, who has started for numerous, numerous years, had that much of a bad showing in an elimination game on both ends of the floor, which I probably should be able to wrap my head around a little bit more, but it still doesn't make it any easier that it occurred. This program as a whole just needs it's this is the biggest offseason that I can remember in a really, really long time. It's gonna change things either for good or for better. Hope it's for better, but yeah, North Carolina is also just like the better team too. So it's like, are we really surprised that they did that to us? No, but I don't know. It sucked as I watched it occur that our team just could not, no sets, no nothing, couldn't get any offense going. It was tough to watch.
So what's the motion for the offseason? Give us the five bullets plan of how Michigan State returns to glory next year.
Well, honorable mention, keep Jeremy Fears out of Joliet. Let's keep him safe. See, five things. One's a center. I think transfer center is the number one thing. I think that we need a actual capable Big Ten level starting center. That'd be one. Two, a wing with size that can shoot. Would really appreciate that. All of our best shooters are leaving next season, and we didn't really have that many best shooters, but like Tyson Walker is gone. Everyone else who hit threes is gone. Jay Nichols will be back probably, but who knows with that. That's still up in the air, in my opinion. But I think I'm done with the three guard small ball look. I get it. Like it works if you got like three NBA guards, which is what like Baylor had. But I think if you're gonna have the team makeup that we have, I'd rather have like a 6'6" like playmaking shooting wing, like some size at the three position. Trey Townsend, hope you're having a good day, by the way. Three, lock Cohen Carr in a gym with the gun on. Four, honestly, those are only three I want, really. Do I need five?
No, I'm just trying to scope what this looks like. Because, like, what's the lineup that has you feeling like, ooh, championship level again?
Next season?
Yeah, like, is there one?
No.
Even with two transfer starters?
Yeah, I don't think so, no.
So is next year a rebuilding year? Because wasn't this year the rebuilding year? I guess not. Like, this year was supposed to be the contending year, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, next year – well, technically this year was supposed to be, like, the second-year Book, second-year Jeremy Fears, like, second-year Colin Carr, Jay Nakin's back, you know, all – like, that's what
– Just we – all right, I'm gonna say it the mean way. Are we sure any of those guys are good?
Hmm?
Are we sure any of those guys are good?
Are we sure I'm pretty sure those guys are good.
Like, really though? Like, aren't I don't mean to just be like an asshole about this, but isn't it all promise right now? Like, all promise? Like, we hope they're good, but like Xavier Booker couldn't rebound against North Carolina. He was getting dogged. And that's not like – I understand we wanted him to play. He couldn't play much of the season because he can't rebound at all. So I guess if you pair him with like a good starting center, that's one thing, and maybe that happens. But like Jerry, you know where I'm at on Fears, man. I love him potential wise. I think it's crazy to assume he's a 30-minute player next year that's going to lead the team after what's he's coming off. Like, it's a total unknown. He's a total unknown. And Carr just stinks. Like, he's fun, but Carr is a horrible player in the Big Ten right now. So I'm having a hard time hearing like that's the core of next year's team and believing it's like anything but a step backwards.
Step backwards like from what though? Like it's just worse than this season?
Step backwards from this. I mean, the roster's getting worse minus bringing in two. Like, if you go get two starters from the portal, then everything's different. I guess what I'm saying is I think for this team to be serious about contending, you need to go get like a first and a second option in the portal, not like a starter, not a fifth option. Like who's the first option next year? Jay Nakins?
On paper, probably, yeah.
That is terrifying, Cart. I'm sorry, but like a team whose best player is Jay Nakins is not a good basketball team. Let's just step back broadly on that. That's probably not a tournament team. So like you need to go find ways to make Akins be your third best player. And the paths for that would be, is Fears ready? That's a total unknown. Does Xavier Booker suddenly become Khalil Ware in year two? That's probably the best case scenario, but like I think it's more likely than Fears being all Big Ten next year. So I don't know.
It doesn't matter though, because I'm just everyone's gone. That's all I care about, I think. Like if it is a rebuild, then like I'm cool with that, to be honest with you.
We're gonna see about that. We're gonna see, because there a lot of y'all are saying how much you love these guys until they lose 14 games, and then we'll see if you still love them as much or if you go the route of loving them.
If we lose 14 games, I'm sure we won't love them. That's natural.
But that's kind of what I'm saying here. Like
that we're gonna suck. That we're gonna suck next year.
No, it's all dependent on transfers. And I read Izzo's comments as he's gonna go get transfers. I like he admitted fault in a way.
He has to. He has no. I think the point you're getting at, and I believe you with this, he doesn't have a choice. He literally doesn't have a choice.
I think he has a choice, but
he does not have a choice.
He always has a choice. It's his program.
I mean, I guess, yeah, but like he does, like he, we need players.
I mean, there's options to bring back the same players, is the point. There's a world here where you only lose Tyson and Malik. So,
well, let me give you this lineup and you tell me how good or good, tell me this team's record next year. This is assuming he doesn't get a transfer. Two scenarios. I'll give you the non-transfer scenario and the transfer scenario.
Okay.
Fears, Akins. Fears, Akins, I don't even know.
Where's Holloman?
Bench.
He might start, right? Like, I'll say this, and you're going to hate me for that. I think there's a much better chance Trey Holloman is better than Jeremy Fears next year than the opposite.
You think?
I do. And that's part of that is I believe in Trey Holloman, but like there's just a whole lot of banking on a dude who barely played as if he's some proven guy. Because Tom Izzo says he's a great vocal leader.
I mean, it's not like there's nothing to go off of. He had some moments.
He had a 10-game sample size where he never scored more than like 6 points in a game. Like
he did some other things besides scoring.
He had one very good assist game against a team in the 300s on KenPom. Like there's not a lot to go off of from that.
Yeah. I mean, glass half full, maybe a little bit though.
Like gallon half full is what's going on there. Okay. I think there's a lot more to actually believe in with Booker than there is with Fears for me.
Yeah. I mean, but that's because we've seen more Booker. If we've seen more Fears this year and he didn't, you know, have his thing, then we probably would feel a little bit differently, I think. We also don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back, too. That's a big if.
The implication that Fears would have just taken A.J. Hogarth's role makes not much sense to me also. But that's another story, I guess.
If Fears played the same amount of minutes as A.J. this year, Michigan State would have been better.
I guess I don't have the energy to argue with you on that.
You do disagree, though?
Yes, I think the guy that averaged 2 points a game this year would not have made your team better if he didn't get shot in December. He was playing behind this guy who was playing better at the beginning of the season. Don't think that would have changed. You know what else would have been great? I bet you if Garrick Norman played, I bet if he played Jay Nakin's minutes, you guys would have won three more games. Like, I don't know what we're doing here, man.
I mean, I didn't say – all right, what's the next topic?
Let's move on. Let's pick all the Sweet 16 games. I want to go through the bracket where it is right now. And no, we're out of order again. We're so unorganized. Can you tell we're like 4 days rusty on this? I want to rank all remaining 16 teams in the Sweet 16.
Beautiful.
Okay. So those teams are UConn, San Diego State, Illinois, Iowa State, North Carolina, Alabama, Clemson, Arizona, Tennessee, Creighton, Gonzaga, Purdue, Marquette, NC State, Houston, and Duke. You want to start at the bottom, work our way up?
Yeah, let's start at the bottom.
Okay, who's the worst team in the Sweet 16?
I think it's got to be NC State, right?
Let's do it. How are they playing right now?
NC State?
You think so?
I think so.
They've been really hot. I'm fine with that, though.
Well, who would be the other one in consideration for that?
I would throw Clemson out, but Clemson's also playing pretty well. I think that's about it.
Yeah. No, I think – I think I feel good with NC State. And I know that's kind of a cop-out because they're, like, the actual lowest-seeded team there. But I think it is them.
Okay. Let's work our way through that. So, the 16th – the worst team in the Sweet 16 is NC State. Second worst, I'm going to nominate Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it that way. I'll nominate a team every time. You nominate a team every time. Then we'll argue it through if we don't agree.
Okay. Yeah, I got Clemson.
Okay. Okay, so NC State, 16. Clemson, 15. I'm going to go San Diego State as my next nominee.
I was gonna nominate Creighton actually, even though I like Creighton, but I think I like yours better at that spot.
San Diego State looked really good against Yale. It was also Yale. They also let UAB hang around when UAB was not playing well, in my opinion.
Yeah, true. And they're one player, literally one player.
And they're gonna get blitzed by UConn.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. 13, I'm okay with Creighton if you want to go with Creighton. I'm surprised you're throwing them out this quickly, though, when you really believe in them as a Final Four team.
I do, but you said how they're playing right now, right?
Yeah.
Right now I feel like I got to throw that out there for how they're playing right now.
The Oregon game was gross. They got lucky to survive that for sure.
Yeah.
Do you still feel good about them as a Final Four team?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Still because of those three players.
Yeah. Okay. Number 12. This really speaks to how good the Sweet 16 is. There's only good teams in this.
Right.
Like the fact that Creighton's at 13, we got really lucky. We're in for a gauntlet the rest of the way. Teams I would nominate in this range, just to spitball some. I would throw Duke in here. I would throw Marquette in here. I would throw Alabama in here. I would throw Gonzaga in here.
No, so, Iowa State.
I would throw Iowa State in there too. I think those should be the next five teams in some order from where are we at? 12 on?
Yeah, I think I'm throwing – I think I nominate Zags for this spot.
Okay, Gonzaga at 12. I'm going to let you rank that group of five. Take us from 12, 11, 10, 9, 8.
Okay, I'm going to go Zags.
At 12.
11. I'm going to go I'm going to go Iowa State after that.
Iowa State at 11.
I'm going to go I'm going to go Marquette. Did we put Marquette too high on this? They kind of struggled with Western Kentucky for a little bit, and Colorado was in that game. Did we rank them too high?
I think Colorado's talented, and I thought Kolick made the plays late when we would have clowned him if he didn't, you know?
Okay. All right. So we'll go with them. They're at 10 then?
Marquette's at 10, yeah.
Okay. And then
Alabama's got to be coming up.
Probably put Bama next.
Bama at 9. I feel like they're too high as we're going through this, but they're just turning games into pure slop.
I don't know how to feel about Bama.
They might beat North Carolina, but it's pure slop. Pure slop.
Like just like not checking or just like sloppy games.
Well, I like the Stripes didn't call one foul in the Bama Grand Canyon game, and it benefited Bama, I thought, in a big way. Mark Sears is giving me big time Jalen Brunson vibes, though. I will say that.
Yeah, he's nice.
He's terrifying. Like maybe best player in the tournament outside of Shannon and Edie right now.
Facts, and that might just be good enough to get them there.
Yeah.
Duke
at 9.
Yeah.
Or is that 9 or 8?
Oh, that's 8. Duke at 8.
Duke's at 8. Okay. Yeah, Duke is playing up to the ceiling, we thought, or I thought, at least throughout the season. All right, so that means for our final 7 spots, we have UConn, Illinois, Houston, Purdue, Arizona, North Carolina. Those are the 7 teams we have not ranked.
I think I go North Carolina next.
It's 7. Wow.
I think so. I think that's. You don't feel good about that?
You have them lower than Arizona?
I had Arizona. Yeah, I do have them lower than Arizona, yes.
As long as those teams are close, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so I was going to go North Carolina. Then I was going to go Tennessee and then Arizona.
North Carolina 7, Tennessee 6, Arizona 5.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. Tennessee's offense scared me, but I think it's a big boost for them that they survived the bad offensive game.
Yeah, I really actually felt a lot better about how that game played out because they were able to pull it out without like anybody doing anything offensively.
And on the flip side, Arizona survived the Caleb Love game.
Yes, it is. And they're good. And if
Scary.
they get Kylan Boswell playing that way and Keyshawn Johnson, and then even if they don't, like they have Jaden Bradley who just can come off the bench and impact the game. KJ Lewis, I like them.
All right. So our top four, the 3-1 seeds in Illinois. How would you rank the top four? I have my answer here.
I'll let you take it. I would like to see this.
Houston is playing worse than Illinois right now. I would put Houston at four.
Okay.
I would put Illinois at three. I'm not gonna get cute. I think Illinois is at three, but they're playing phenomenal. Part of why they're playing phenomenal was the draw.
They are playing phenomenal.
But they are playing phenomenal. Illinois is at three. Oh, man. It's so hard separating Purdue and UConn still. It really is.
No 1A, 1B here.
God, it's hard. The last 60 minutes of the first two rounds is Purdue. But am I supposed to just ignore that Purdue let Grambling hang around for 20?
I mean, could you do that same thing and said that say that UConn let Northwestern kind of semi get back into it?
After they were up 30, like, that's a little different.
Who do you think is better, Northwestern or Utah State?
Northwestern.
Then I think that UConn should be the number one then.
Okay, here, this is my answer. This is how I'm going UConn at one, I'm going Purdue at two. Even though I said in the Purdue recap, if Purdue plays this way, nobody can touch them. I agree with that. The reason UConn is at the top is because I don't think Purdue will always play that way. I think UConn will be more consistently great than Purdue will be in the final four games this tournament.
I can agree with that. I like that setting. Also, this just made me very happy that we're gonna get so many good games in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, people last year tried to act like this shit was no sin.
Can we take a moment to say we asked for this? Like, can we be happy about this, G?
Did
We asked.
the gods reward us?
We did. Like, we're over here, like, yeah, we're sad there wasn't really much madness. But you know what? This has played out perfectly. We had a little mixture of madness on the first couple of days with the best teams. Are going through. They could, and they he couldn't give us fully give us Kentucky in there. But besides that, we pretty much got our ways.
We begged so hard for only good teams that the March gods bounced our teams extremely quickly or didn't let my team in the tournament.
Gotta sacrifice.
Guess we get what we asked for. All right, final topic today. I want to pick the Sweet 16 games. So this is different than what we just did. We ranked the teams 1 through 16, but just because we had a ranking of one team higher than the other doesn't mean we would pick head to head the bracket to go that certain way. So now that we have our Sweet 16 lined up, I want to just fill out a bracket collectively together from Sweet 16 onward. Okay?
I would love to do that with you, Gregory.
Let's do it together. A little team building exercise after all we've been through in the last week. All right. UConn versus San Diego State national championship rematch. Who wins and by how much? Just quickly.
UConn by 20.
I got UConn by 37. Illinois, Iowa State.
Illinois by 5.
See, I think if it's close, I think it's Iowa State. If it's not close, I think that means Illinoising worked. If it's close, I think that means it didn't work.
Ooh.
I'll elaborate more on the preview. With that said, I have Illinois by 11.
The Illini to the Elite Eight.
Need to think about it a little more, but right now it's Illinois. So UConn and Illinois advance. Let's finish that region out. UConn versus Illinois. Who goes to the Final Four?
Oh, Greg.
Carter.
Greg.
Carter. We don't lie to the people. That's not something we do. We've never done
Oh,
that. We've never done it.
UConn, UConn. I Hey, UConn.
It's UConn. UConn's a better team than Illinois. I hope it's Illinois, though.
But Greg, all right, okay. Before we move on, take a step back. We got our way to the Sweet 16. If the gods really want to reward us, they give us Purdue and Illinois in a Final Four that we are going to be at.
If you and I are working the Final Four shows and it's Purdue Illinois national championship game, can you imagine?
Oh my God.
It's UConn though. For now, it's UConn. To the West region, North Carolina, Alabama. Why are you out on this UNC team? I thought they destroyed Michigan State.
Yeah, they did. I'm going to North Carolina.
I was really impressed with them in the second half. I really was.
Yeah, if Ingram's going to play like that and RJ Davis is going to play like that and Baycott, like, they got a lot of weapons.
Did you see Harrison Ingram, by the way, say they've never seen a team chirp as much as Michigan State?
I did not see that, no.
You've really been offline today. I got to send you a lot of post-Michigan State game content. Harrison Ingram had one of his, like, Harrison Ingram interview quotes where he, like, makes direct eye contact and says very vocabularic words. He was like, yeah, I can't believe how many players were chirping from them. I've never seen so many players chirp in a basketball game, but I encouraged that. It really got me going. It got me very excited, and we really flipped the game from there.
They definitely started the chirping, but hey.
It's ridiculous. Okay, North Carolina wins. Arizona, Clemson.
Arizona.
I think Clemson might make that a lot more interesting than you think.
I do too, but give me Arizona.
Okay. This Clemson team has some Team of Destiny vibes to it for me right now.
Yeah, I like Arizona's front court to hold their own against Shiflin and PJ Hall, though.
Maybe. Probably.
I think Chase Hunter's insanity run has to end eventually.
Okay. Carolina, Arizona, Caleb Love revenge game.
I picked Arizona in my bracket, my actual bracket. I think if you're picking what team's playing better right now, you're probably picking North Carolina, right?
This is the one game where I'm going to side with Caleb Love. If it's him with a chip on his shoulder against his old program, I'm taking him every time.
I really hope we get that too, by the way.
Me too.
That game will be scenes.
And it should. On paper, it should happen now. I think it's Ona. Like, I think I'm just actually thinking, like, what would Caleb Love do in that spot? I think, don't we know who UNC is a little bit? Like, they're very talented, but isn't there a little more dog to Arizona and Caleb Love than the Heels?
Yeah, there definitely is. Yeah.
Okay, so can we go Zona?
Yeah, we'll go Zona. I'm good with that.
Okay, so we have UConn and Arizona in the Final Four from the left side of the bracket. To the right side, Houston, Duke.
I want to pick Houston, but I feel like if we're doing the pick who's playing better right now. Actually, no. Who am I? What? How dare I? I'm standing on business. If there's one team that can make a soft team look bad, it's Houston.
I'm back on the Duke bandwagon.
Damn it, Greg.
Counterpoint, Duke isn't soft. They were faking it.
They were, wait. So instead of being fake tough, they're being fake soft.
Duke was fake soft so that nobody saw them coming all year
long. They wanted everyone to think they were soft.
Correct.
Ooh.
Did you watch? I know you did. I don't know why I'm asking this. You watched Duke James Madison, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you watched what James Madison did to Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Physically punked them.
Yes.
Duke destroyed them.
Yeah.
Like, destroyed. Like, I was worried that their carcasses were going to be left on the court. It was absurd.
Yes.
And Jared McCain is a bad. I truly didn't mean anything bad by that. I'm sorry. Whoa. He's great. I think Jared is the best player on the court.
Ed is a killer.
Yes. I think Duke beats Houston because of Jared McCain.
I would like to place a sleeper's bet on this.
Okay. We can do that. Can I pull rank in this exercise, though?
Yeah.
Okay. So Duke advances, and then NC State Marquette.
Marquette.
Oso would probably just sort of eliminate DJ, right?
Yeah. Also might be fat phobic.
That's crazy.
Like he looked Eddie Lemkin and said, you're fat. and I'm going to beat you. And then he's going to look DJ Burns and be like, you're even fatter. I'm going to beat you.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wish we would have seen Marquette Oakland because Tyler Kolek would have had 27 assists against that zone. I was literally, when I was watching that game with 3 minutes, I'm like, Marquette's just going to destroy these dudes. Marquette Duke with a Final Four on the line. Yuck. It's Duke, though.
It is?
It's Duke. It's Duke Hart. It's Duke, because we haven't even mentioned their best player. Like, Flip's the best player in that game. He's a matchup nightmare for all of Marquette's fours.
Did Marquette have the better backcourt?
I don't think so.
Ooh. Okay. Nope. So you're taking Roach and Roach and McCain?
Roach McCain and Proctor. I mean, not all three collectively, but like the combination of those three over Kolek and Jones for me, yes.
Cam Jones is a bad man. You talk about how McCain's a bad man. Cam Jones is also a bad man.
McCain's a badder person.
All right, I'll let you pull rank. You can get Duke.
I love Jared McCain. All right, Duke goes to the Final Four. Purdue, Gonzaga.
Purdue.
I think that's way closer than people think, but I think it's Purdue.
I do too, but it's Purdue.
Gonzaga is playing great right now. Third best team in the country since March 1st.
What about February 1st?
I don't know. Totally different team since when they played in Maui, by the way. Like, Dusty Stromer started in that game.
Yeah, true.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's a warning to all Purdue fans.
Creighton, Tennessee.
Creighton.
I think Tennessee destroys Creighton.
Really?
You can pull rank on this one, though, since I did the last time.
Thank you. Yeah. What, are you sure? Just let you know, though, if you let me pull rank here, I might take very deep advantage of it.
Well, I think the thing with Tennessee is Kinnick's not going to be bad 2 games in a row.
That's true. Yeah. He's not going to do that. Like, okay.
Them surviving that one was crazy.
Do you want Purdue? Are you going to pick Purdue the next game no matter what?
Yes.
Okay. Then go ahead and take this.
So you were going to fight for Creighton over Purdue?
I was, yeah.
I still don't. Can you explain to me how? Like, how does Creighton beat Purdue?
So when I'm looking at teams that can beat Purdue, I know, like, it's a simple thing, but it's literally just teams that just get extremely hot from three and just rain in threes. And Purdue gets rattled when teams are raining in three. And they have won games like that this year when teams have done that. Don't get me wrong. Like, Bama was banging threes. Arizona was banging threes. They still won those games. But I just think that they have enough high-level shot makers, especially at the guard position, that will make it tough. And then Colt Brenner's not obviously going to stop Edie, but at least he's a 7-foot Big East Defensive Player of the Year down there. It's more than other teams can say they have. So I don't know. I see a vision of how Creighton could do it. They could just get extremely hot.
Yeah, I mean, the 3-point variance teams scare me, but I don't know. I think
it's like you say with a lot of teams, like they either get Purdue either beats Creighton by 20, or Creighton makes kind of a mockery of them and wins it fairly easily.
I just think Edie would stuff Calk in a locker and like where's Ashworth the whole like doesn't Braden Smith just eat Ashworth alive?
Probably put Ashworth on Fletch.
And I think Fletch eats him alive.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Or put him on Lance and have Lance think that he can eat him alive and he just shoots him out the game.
That would be – now you're talking me into Creighton. That would be the way to do it. Or put him on Edie and make Edie beat you.
Just put him on Edie and hope Edie just gets confused while Steven Ashworth's on him. He's just like, wait.
How many – in a 40-minute game, how many do you think Zach Edie would score on Steven Ashworth?
84.
I think he'd get 120. That'd be so fun. I think it for Purdue, I think they should be praying Creighton beats Tennessee. I don't think Creighton can beat Purdue. I think Tennessee could show up physically and disrupt some things, I think. And Kinnick could always go nuclear. But
we got Purdue going to the Final Four anyway, so let's go with that.
Well, we gotta pick the game. I'll give you Creighton, but I'm fighting for Purdue. Creighton beats Tennessee, Purdue beats Creighton.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have Purdue against Duke. We have Arizona against UConn. That would be a really fun Final Four. UConn, Arizona, who wins?
UConn.
I think so too.
UConn and Arizona's leading for 28 minutes of that game, and then we get a reincarnation of Caleb Love from that one game.
And a UConn Avalanche. I agree. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Purdue, who's on the top?
Duke.
Purdue-Duke, yeah.
Purdue.
Purdue, without question.
Purdue.
Okay. Although Jared McCain does scare me, man. He really scares me.
He's a bad man.
Purdue, UConn. It can only end this way, though, by the way. Like, I want everybody to realize this is like a train. It's like the Inception monologue where they're like, you're waiting for a train. And the train never comes, or whatever that woman says before she jumps off the bridge. That's this. It's UConn and Purdue. The train is coming. Prepare yourself for the train. You have 2 weeks.
You want two things. One, I've never seen Inception. Two,
great movie.
UConn wins.
Purdue wins. What do we do?
I'd be happy either way.
We can't. I don't think we can let either one of us pull rank on this one. It's too important.
Why does Purdue win this game?
Best player on the floor surrounded by best shooting team in the country. Actually, no. I got to appeal to you. Sorry, this is much better. We're now in court. Class is in session. I have to convince you why you are wrong. And then you have to convince me why I am wrong. So I'm going to start with convincing you why you are wrong when you say UConn can beat Purdue.
Okay.
Donovan Clingan against Zach Edey, what happens? Don't jump off who you've said Clingan is all year. Because I know you watched him against Northwestern today, against Blake Preston and Luke Hunger. And I know you saw him smoke a couple wide open hook shots. I know you saw him miss dunks. I know you saw him miss a couple layups. The eight blocks were cute on Martinelli.
Edey
eats him alive for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Devours him. Like, that's the whole argument. I don't need to get into the rest of it. The other guys are shooters. But, like, at the end of the day, UConn is built around Donovan Clingan being the best player on the floor. And Donovan Clingan would get exposed one-on-one with Zach Edey for 40 minutes.
Mm. Okay. Is that your closing argument?
That's my entire argument. I rest my case. Your turn.
Greg, Zach Edey's amazing. He truly is. I think he's going to keep playing this way until the national championship. When Edie's going to be just a wee bit off, and he's going to look to somebody else who hasn't had to do it yet all tournament. And in that moment, shout to my UConn fans, there's going to be someone who's going to be assigned to be on Castle Island. Castle will eat Braden Smith alive.
Oh, come on. That's crazy. It's crazy.
That dude's a monster defensively.
Say it last year.
Has Braden played well in the tournament yet?
I mean, it depends on your definition of well, but
we hold him to a higher standard.
Yes, we do. Let me look his game logs up real quick.
Because in my head, I feel like he hasn't played well in two straight games.
I mean, he had a double-double in game one, but go off, King.
Did he have a double-double?
He had 11, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds with 0 turnovers.
All right, then I was wrong then. Purdue wins. There you go.
All right, there you have it. Purdue's national champion. I have an eyelash stuck in my eye. What's your one big thing presented by Big B? Thank you for that.
My one big thing presented by Big B is that if you stop doing something for like a day or two, it doesn't matter how good you are at it. I think you just lose it. Like, you lose a little bit of step. You lose a little bit of rhythm.
Yeah,
I felt off in this episode, and I'm sorry that I felt off, and I'll be better.
No, this was choppy, and it was choppy on my part. This was a deep performance from us. I'll make excuses on our behalf. I think we're gassed. I think we're doing this at the end of the 4-day run of working harder than we've worked all year. Shout out to our team that worked with us, by the way, the Heat Check guys. Connor Hope made his return from his overseas trip. But Brian Ralph, Riley Davis have been awesome. Kevin Sweeney making his appearance this week was incredible. Christian and Subi crushed it. Those guys are guys I want to keep working with going forward. They saved the day, but I'm gassed.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no time to be gassed. My eyelash.
We got a sweet 16 on our hands, Gregory.
I know, and Illinois and Purdue are still alive. It's insane.
I will say this. Actually, last thing. I'm very excited to, like, dive in. Like, even though I say I'm gassed, I think once we hop off of here, I got my good old trusty little MacBook right here. It's like my little light book one. I'm going to start crunching some numbers, maybe looking at a couple clips here or there. I'm very excited to do these previews.
Oh, okay. All right. You're like the – so this is like when a player, like, misses a practice or something or puts up a stinker in a game. And then he, like, stays in the film room and makes sure his coach is aware that he's staying extra to watch film.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. I see the cameras out there, so, like, I'm going to stay in my uniform and go shoot a couple of free throws.
Yeah, that's what's going on right now. Like, yeah, I'm really getting after it right now, coach. Like, I'm be ready for Thursday, coach. All right. My one big thing is a question for you. Do you know who coached Dusty May in high school when Dusty May played high school basketball?
Do I know when he did?
Who coached Dusty May? When Dusty May played high school basketball, who was his coach?
It's got to be it. Is it anyone in relation to, like, in the University of Indiana?
No.
No? No, I don't know who.
Be ready to have your mind blown on this one. This is how deep down the Dusty May rabbit hole I am. Dusty May's high school basketball coach was Brooks Barnheiser's dad.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. Lil Wayne voice. Uh-huh. A geek. Yeah.
What's Dusty May's real name?
Dusty.
His first name is actually, like, his first name is Dusty. That's not a nickname.
First name is Dusty.
No, his first name has got to be Dustin.
No, his first name is Dusty. Dusty, Musty, Crusty, Busty.
Wait, you know that for a fact, though?
It's going to be May Cart. Yeah, it is. It's Dusty. I don't know that for a fact, but don't tell me if you find out differently. He's Dusty for me forever. Just to let you know where my head is at on things, I didn't know you and I haven't talked too much about Dusty yet. Do you know who I'm currently projecting as my five-man starting lineup next year?
No, but I need this, please.
Day one in Ann Arbor next year. John L. Davis, Elijah Martin, Brooks Barnheiser, Trey Townsend, Vlad Golden, with Namari Burnett, fifth-year Terrence Williams, and Christian Anderson off the bench. Killers. That's my – like, there's a very – possible chance that's my team next year.
Sorry, now you got me on one that team's good for one, two.
Team's
don't know
nasty.
That.
It could happen. It could happen.
I don't know if that happens, but now on a deep dive on, like, Dusty May's Wikipedia page, I didn't know he served under Bob Knight as a student manager.
Yeah. Yep. And then, yeah, just grinded his way upward, took an assistant job at Eastern Michigan, has heavy Indiana ties. Like, I've
also not to be confused with his name is Dusty.
Yeah.
And his middle name is A.
Dusty A. May?
Yeah.
Oh, no, nah, it's over for y'all.
Like, dog, he doesn't have a middle. No, I'm Greg. He doesn't have a middle name. His middle name is A. His name is Dusty A. May.
Do you know that Beeline closed the deal on this, by the way?
For real?
Yeah, they flew in John Beeline to meet with Dusty in the 11th hour, and it happened.
Dusty hasn't won any games at Michigan yet. Loser.
Raise your hand if your coach has made a Final Four since the pandemic. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. You must not be familiar with the great pandemic of 1920.
Oops. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back every day for the rest of our lives.